the hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise the hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I raise the hallelujah. My weapon is an ability. Raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me. I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm, louder and louder. You're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated. The King is alive. I raise a hallelujah with everything inside of me. I raise a hallelujah. I will watch the darkness flee. I raise a hallelujah. Love the mystery. I raise a hallelujah. Fear you lost your hold on me.
Sing a little louder.
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 Sing a little louder. A little louder in the presence of my enemies, louder than the unbelief. My weapon is a melody. Heaven comes to fight for me in the presence of my enemies. Louder than the unbelief.
Sing a little louder.
My weapon is a melody.
Sing a little louder.
Heaven comes to fight for me.
Hallelujah.
Amen. You know, the last several weeks I've covered the fruits of the Spirit, and I've talked about judgment, and I've talked about being a good disciple. I've talked about several things over the last few months. But all these things together, these fruits of the Spirit, you know, when we, come together, the saints come together, and we have teachers, and we have evangelists, and we have preachers, and we have all these things, and they're for one purpose, and that's the equipping of the saints to do discipleship work, to do mission work. Like we, you know, the young kids was talking about. But we have to allow those fruits of the Spirit to be displayed in our lives. So the Holy Spirit works through us and through the Word of God, and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, Jesus has given us the ability to influence others to Jesus Christ. You know, you're an influence to others. Those fruits of the Spirit, these things that are written in the Word of God are there so we can display them for Jesus Christ, and people can see Jesus working in us, and we become this influence to this world around us. Whether we're at work or school or no matter where we're at. To our families, even, we're to be this influence. As a child of God, you have inherited the blessings, which includes the ability to influence people for God and His kingdom. A person of influence. That's what I want to be, right? That's who we need to be, as a person of influence. A person that demonstrates Christ through our lifestyle. That's taking up your cross and following Him. Yeah, it means we got to give up some stuff, but let me tell you, there's a reward for that. And He talks about that, and it's a great reward. Amen? It's a great reward. This morning, I want to encourage each one of you and myself. I'm not excluded from any of that. That the desire to be strong in you, to be that person of influence in our city of Anna, in our community, in our schools, at your workplace, at your jobs, at wherever you're at, and even at your church. No matter where you're at, you're coming through the parking lot and somebody's walking across the parking lot that needs help. Church van pulls up, loads them up, takes them home. That's a good influence. It can happen anywhere. God has a reason. God has a reason. You know that we need to be that person that's not influenced by the world, but influences the world. Amen. We do that through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit living in us. And when the Holy Spirit's working in you and you're displaying them fruits of the Spirit and you're allowing the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you, people come to Christ because you're influencing them to come to Christ. You know, the influence is defined as a release of spiritual or moral force. I love definitions. I use them quite often. The act of power of producing the effect without apparent exertion of force or direct exercise of command. The power of capacity of causing an effect in indirect or intangible ways. You think about that. It's not the body. It's what's inside. It's what the Holy Spirit is showing through you. I think of this often, and I've said it before. When I look in a mirror, I want to see Jesus. I don't want to see my reflection. I want to see Jesus in me. That's who I want to see. And that's because that's what I want the world to see. I don't want the world to see Randy, this ugly old 53-year-old man, losing his hair. Midlife crisis. Thinks he's young, but knows he's not. You know? But I want people to see Jesus in me. I want the Holy Spirit to just shine from me. That's what Jesus wants from you. That's what Jesus wants from His church. And that's what changes the world. That's what changes communities. And that's what draws people to Christ, which is what we want. We want no one to not make it to heaven. You know, an influential person demonstrates Christ through his or her lifestyle. You know, God has given you and me the blessing when you were saved. Amen. Man, I remember the day I got saved. I'll never forget that day. It's the day I'll never forget. It changed my life. I want to share that with everybody. Anybody that's been around me, I tell you, the day I got saved changed my life. Changed my life. I'll never forget it. It happened to be right here. I say it. I don't mind telling you over and over. It's right there at that pew or that altar. That's where I gave my life to Christ. You know, the blessings of God enables us to influence others for Jesus. In Genesis 12, 2, it says, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. You must be bold. You must be a bold witness for Jesus in order to influence others. You just can't wait for someone else to do it for you. We must be willing to share the good news with everybody we meet. I've got good news to tell people. God saved me. He changed my life. Sometimes that's all it takes, is to tell people, God changed my life. There's people that I know that I've talked to, friends of mine that knew me in high school, and I tell them I'm a preacher, and they're like, what? Really? They're like, well, okay. But then they start to see me. They get to listen to who I am now. They know who I was, but they know who I am now because of what I'm telling them. My story's different. I remember those things, but now my story's that, man, church, I love church. I love being a pastor. I love witnessing to people. I do. I can't even speak Spanish, but I tell you, I loved going up and talking to people, and they're looking at me like, you know, and then David says, well, what he's trying to say is this. But it didn't matter to me because I wanted to share Jesus. You never know where God will call you. You never know what you might say, not maybe by the words that you speak, but by your actions. God desires that every believer be an influence to others for Christ. You and I should strive to bring others to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Scripture says, do whatever it takes, even by snatching them out of the fire. Compel them, they use words. Compel them to come into the doors. Is that part of your life? Or is that something that you want to get out and talk to people and say, hey, won't you come to church on Sunday? Hey, you know, Easter's coming. How long's it been since you've been to church? I tell everybody I meet, I don't know. Not everybody shows up. But it just takes that one, right? That's all that matters. Maybe they're somewhere else at church, but I planted a seed and God did the rest. Amen. God will do the rest. His Holy Spirit will do the rest. You know, Jesus was a living example of how to be a person of influence. And as a Christian, we are to be a living example of Jesus. Why do I say that? Because that's what the Bible says. That's what Jesus said to his disciples. He prayed that in the garden to the Father. He said, Father, as you sent me, I now send them. He told his disciples, now you go, and I can't stay with you, but I'm going to leave you somebody that's going to help you out, comforter. Going to guide and direct you. He's going to give you what you need. He's going to empower you, and you'll do greater things than I ever did. He said, you're going to be a bigger example than I ever was. And you're going to influence more people than I did. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's living within you and I'm sending you to be my example. I'm sending you to be my ambassador into this world. And that's what we are. We're His ambassadors. In 2 Corinthians 3, it says, do we begin again to commend ourselves? Or do we need, as some others' epistles are of commendation to you, of or letters of commendation from you? You're an epistle written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Holy Spirit of the living God, and not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of your heart. See, it's inside of us. We're chiseled. It's been written in us. When you receive Christ into your life, He writes it in you. He starts to write this letter, which is you. And what's your letter look like? What's He written in you? Some of us, He's written great things. It's awesome to think about. It's awesome to think about, isn't it? What God can write, not on tablets, but tablets of flesh. You know, we're to reflect Jesus in all that we do, and we need to represent God well. I take that pretty seriously anymore. I used to not think about things like that, but the more mature I get and the more I get closer to God, the closer I get to Him, the more I understand that I represent God Almighty. I represent Him. I represent this church, and everything that I do outside this church represents what this church is. But that goes beyond just the pastor. That's each and every member. And it goes beyond each and every member. It goes to each and every believer. So it doesn't matter what church you go to. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you represent God Almighty. And everything that you do, no matter where you are in this world, wherever you go, whether you're in a restaurant and you're having a bad waiter day, you're representing God, just to remind you. I've heard more than one waitress or waiter say that they dislike Sundays. That's when the church crowd comes in. What are they trying to say? There's something to that. I know I'm not the only one that's heard somebody say that. That's just one thing. People will be drawn to or influenced by the Jesus that's in us. That's what matters. That's what brings eternal life, not us. We can be good friends. Some of us are good influences, and some of us are not so good influences in the flesh. But when we're drawn and we live by the Spirit brings an influence. It's a great influence. A greater influence than we could ever be. People of influence will make a significant impact on others through the power of God. I'm reminded of the Samaritan woman's brief encounter with Jesus and how Jesus influenced her to such a point that multitudes were drawn to Jesus because of her testimony. One person gets saved, and guess what? Multitudes come to Christ because she was willing to go tell everybody. And in John 4:21, Jesus says to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know, and we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews, but the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him." He's seeking you to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. The woman said to Him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. And when He comes, He will tell us all things." And Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am He." And at this point, His disciples came, and they marveled that He talked with a woman. Yet no one said, "What do you seek?" or "Why are you talking to her?" The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and said to the men, "Come see a man who told me all the things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" And then they went out of the city and came to Him. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in Him because of the word of the woman who testified, "He told me all that I ever did." That was all she said. "He told me all that I ever did." It wasn't this big, elaborate thing. She just gave her testimony. "He knows me. He knows everything that I did." So when the Samaritans had come to Him, they urged Him to stay with them, and they stayed, and He stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of His own word. And then they said to the woman, "Now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard Him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." But it was her influence, is my point. It was her influence that brought those men to Jesus. Man, what can our influence do for a church? What can our influence do for a community? Most of all, what can we do for Christ? I remember Peter and John, they used the name of Jesus to release the power of God to heal the lame man's body. And as a result of that, he began praising God. Anybody that gets saved is going to praise God, I'm telling you. He was drawing people to the Lord. And in Acts 3 and 4, he said, "In fixing our eyes on Him with John, Peter said, 'Look at us.' So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. And then Peter said, 'Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do give you, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.' And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, so that he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him." I love that. You know, these two examples, one is physical and really one is spiritual. You know, I believe in both, the physical and spiritual, because I've seen spiritual healings. I got saved. I was spiritually healed. I was risen from the dead because my spirit was dead and I became alive in Christ. So there's a spiritual healing there, and then there's also physical healing. And I believe in physical healings. You know, I can go to the doctor now and have a blood test, And they'll tell me, I don't have kidney disease. In 2018, they told me I was staged almost on dialysis, stage 3 kidney disease. But through a process, God healed me. I believe that. Now, I know that God doesn't always heal physically, but I do know that He always heals spiritually. You may be hurting and broken in the flesh, but let me tell you, Jesus can heal you spiritually. Amen. I remember the story about King Solomon, and he had so much influence. He had so much wealth that the Queen of Sheba lost her breath when she saw all that he possessed and the wisdom that he had. She was marveled, really, at everything that he had, and even all of his workers. Everybody that was around him was happy. That's something to say. Most kings can't say that, could they? But she was marveled at not only all the possessions that he had, but how the questions that he could answer. Anything that she could ask him, he could answer. But then she noticed that everybody around him was happy and pleased, and that influence that he had was more than just having wealth and power. Because Solomon, he had more than that, didn't he? He had God, and he believed that. And she gave the king 120 talents of gold, spices in greater quantities, and precious stones. And there never again came such an abundance of spices as the Queen of Sheba gave the king Solomon. It influenced her so much that she wanted to just give all that she had. My point to that is this influence that we can share. It's the same influence that somebody else shared with me that changed my life, and I want to share that with everyone else because I saw something that I wanted, and that was Jesus. It went beyond the person that shared it with me. It was what that person was carrying, which was Jesus. So I challenge you this morning, as the scripture says, be doers of the word, not just hearers. Be a person who's loving and compassionate and a giver, not only of finances, but talents, time. It goes beyond money. But God owns it all anyway. Be a person who is stable and reliable and committed and consistent. It's important. You know, God's desire for us is to be a person of influence no matter where we're at, whether it's at work or at home or at school, at the gas station, at a restaurant. I could keep going. Even Walmart. When somebody takes our parking place or pushes a cart into our car. Or cut you off at the four-way stop. We need to teach a lesson. We got to get a class on four-way stop. Teaching people how to use it. I think we forgot. Remember this as we leave today. You are an example of Jesus Christ. And shine bright for Him. wherever you go. Amen? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your Holy Spirit that just captivates people. Lord, let us be people that of great influence on this dark world. Lord, let us leave here better than we came. Always praising, always honoring, always humble. Let us be good examples for you, and I praise you and I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.